Four, please. Thank you both. Burton Meeks versus Welch.
May it please the court, my name is Larry Chilton, and I represent Appellant Intergovernmental Risk Management Agency. This matter is before you this morning on IRMA. It's known as IRMA.
Actually, there's a jurisdictional question in this case, too. It's not clear it's before us at all. How is the order in this case appealable? It's obviously not a final decision by the district court.
IRMA is a non-party, and this is in response to a subpoena of documents.
And so what?
And so under those circumstances, IRMA is entitled to a direct appeal of the court's decision.
Why?
How and why?
For the
your appellate, the jurisdictional statement in your brief sounds like you're making an argument under Perlman against the United States, although you don't cite Perlman.
That is what we're doing, Your Honor.
But this case is very far from Perlman. What happened in Perlman was the documents assertedly covered by the privilege were in the hands of the attorney rather than the privilege holder. And the Supreme Court said in Perlman that that was very important because the attorney had said that he would comply with the district court's order rather than stand in contempt. And therefore, the only way the privilege holder could get review, given that the attorney was going to comply with the order, was to take an immediate appeal. But in this case, the documents are in the hands of the person asserting the privilege. So it's quite possible for IRMA to stand in contempt of court. This is, in other words, outside the rationale, the stated rationale of Perlman distinguished the Perlman case from this case. And the normal rule is that if the documents are in the hands of the third party, it's necessary to stand in contempt. That's the holding of Ryan against the United States.
Correct.
So, since this is not a Perlman appeal, and it appears to be identical to Ryan, how do we have appellate jurisdiction?
Because IRMA will not have a remedy at the conclusion of the case, and the court has ordered.
That's not what Ryan is about. Ryan says that in order to get an interlocutory appeal, the third party has to refuse to comply with the district court's order, be held in contempt of court, and appeal from the contempt adjudication. That process, of course, is not free, but that's part of the idea. It limits appeals to people who are really serious about what they're claiming.
I understand, Your Honor. So the position of this court is that since IRMA has not been held in contempt by Judge Shader, that the court lacks jurisdiction over this appeal.
Not the position of this court anything. I'm asking you how your situation could be distinguished from Ryan, given that Perlman is not the applicable source of authority.
And
now, maybe there is no distinction from
I
Ryan.
Can't offer further distinction, Your Honor.
Perhaps this is a subject on which we need some supplemental briefs.
Yeah,
we'll be
helpful.
Happy to do that, Your Honor.
How long do you want? 2 weeks from now or 10 days? Right?
Yeah, either
10 days?
Yes, Your Honor.
Counsel, do you want 10 days to reply then, please? Right. Then do you wish to proceed? No, I'm asking you.
I will proceed at this time if the court would prefer that.
Go ahead. Go right ahead. But realizing that this issue
there's
is
a jurisdictional issue.
And that you're obligated to file that brief.
I understand, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And we'll submit our briefs in 10 days. On the underlying issue, though, the issue of the district court's decision not to honor IRMA's request with respect to the attorney-client privilege that was raised and the self-critical analysis privilege. Those are the two distinct issues that we believe are before this court today. We believe that the district court had a fundamental misunderstanding of what IRMA is. IRMA is an intergovernmental cooperative agency, and as we cite in the Anna Perk case, which is an Illinois Supreme Court case, and I think it's the best cite to helping this court understand what IRMA is. IRMA is a joint effort sanctioned by the Illinois Constitution which enables public entities to combine their resources and know-how so that they may more efficiently perform governmental operations they are too small to conduct individually.
But all that tells us, as you say, is structurally what it is. And there are many different kinds of things out there, but the law of attorney-client privilege requires a much more finely tuned inquiry. There may be instances in which things that IRMA is doing are really joint efforts on the part of all of its members. There may be instances in which it appears to be assessing the insurability of one of its members. And I think the district court was simply saying we've got to take this at a very factually specific level, and we've got to see what we have now. So I take it IRMA is actually an entity. Is there an office? Is there a staff?
There is an office. There are employees, Your Honor. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe they're not exactly like a trade association. Maybe they're not exactly like many other things, but they still operate in various capacities vis-a-vis their members. What's wrong with a factually specific approach?
But those operations are always on behalf of the specific member, with IRMA standing as the risk management for that member. That's
but
the
that's
entire
true
point
a lot of
the
associations.
Of the legislature. But this is a unique organization because it's a cooperative based on statute in the state of Illinois. It was promulgated specifically for the purpose of allowing small municipalities the same ability to handle their
share duties and share expenses.
Absolutely.
Right.
And all of the evidence that was before the court in terms of your factual question, Your Honor, dealt with IRMA's work in risk management solely for this one member, the City of Country Club Hills. So everything that was done here, we believe, was done under the attorney-client privilege, because we believe that IRMA is in fact part of the municipality under the Illinois legislation for the purpose of handling its risk management duties.
Could I ask you, suppose IRMA decided, and I'm not relying on anything in the record, but just hypothetically, IRMA decided that it didn't want the Village of Country Club Hills to be part of its membership group anymore, and they hire a lawyer to assist them in the formalities of effectuating that change. Is that lawyer automatically representing Country Club Hills at the same time?
No, he's not, Your Honor. I think there are circumstances under which the argument could be raised that the attorney-client privilege should not attach. But for the purposes of
so
this
So why
case,
isn't this one of them?
Because this solely has to do with the risk management services that IRMA was performing under the Illinois statute for this one specific municipality. We believe that...
But that sounds like you think insurance companies and their clients are always on the same side. So any insurance company performing risk management services is it one with its client?
And not at all, Your Honor. And that's one of the problems with the case, is that the district court obviously felt that IRMA was an insurance company, and it absolutely is not an insurance company. It is a unique creature of statute in Illinois. And the whole entire purpose of that legislation is to allow small municipalities the same access to resources that a large city like the City of Chicago has. And I would suggest, for an analogy, that if the City of Chicago had done exactly what was done by IRMA here, that the attorney-client privilege would have attached. And instead, what we have are 75 small municipalities banding together through IRMA, which they govern. They are the members, in order to perform those very same services.
Actually, this feeds back into the jurisdictional question, because to the extent you say, gee, IRMA and the city are just standing as one, perfectly plain that the city can't appeal in a case like this, and that there's a good remedy at the end of the case. If IRMA and the city are standing as one, any appeal at the end of the case is fine.
I think the distinction, Your Honor, though, is that IRMA is the entity that's been asked to produce the report in response
to
the subpoena.
To the extent you say IRMA is a separate entity from the city, that rather undermines your theory on the merits.
And I'm not offering it is a separate entity. I was asked the question about whether or not there
entity.
Are some circumstances.
It either is or isn't a separate entity. If it is a separate entity, then, well, we still have a Ryan question about appeal. But if it's not a separate entity, then obviously there's no appellate jurisdiction.
With respect to risk management services, it is the same entity, Your Honor. That's what we suggest to this court. I was asked a question about whether or not there were circumstances under which it could be considered a separate entity, and I think that there are circumstances. In terms of my time, if I could, I'll jump ahead to the self-critical analysis privilege, because obviously...
Go right ahead.
And I would like to reserve the final 2 minutes also.
You're into it now.
I know, and that's why
so you'd better go. All right, unless you want to take two more minutes after it.
Self-critical analysis privilege has never been directly addressed by this court, and as Judge Williams said in the Morgan case, if there's it's an understatement to say that there's a more unclear area of the law than whether or not the self-critical analysis privilege exists. I think this case provides this circuit with a unique opportunity to address that issue for once and for all.
Have jurisdiction.
And obviously, Judge, that's a separate issue that we will brief for this court. But if you have jurisdiction, there will never be a stronger case for the self-critical analysis privilege than the facts of this case. Because
I wouldn't have a hard time thinking of a stronger case.
Well,
where there's clearly only one entity, and the report is critical of that entity.
And if you believe it's a different, separate entity, Judge, then that would be the case. But in this particular case, under the current state of the law, all of the Dowling factors are in place, and the Dowling decision are the four factors that you have to address once you assume that the self-critical analysis privilege exists. I'll reserve the remaining time that I have for rebuttal, if I might. Thank you.
All right. You have, what does he have?
Thanks. Thank you, Your Honor.
You have 1 minute, I give him 2.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. There's no basis for reversal here.
Do you have any view about appellate jurisdiction?
Well, we stated our view in the jurisdictional statement of our brief. We, relying on the Delwood Farms case from this court, which we believed would apply in this circumstance, but given the court's questioning, we would be happy to rebrief that issue. The district court examined the only evidence in the record, which was the documents themselves that were claimed to be privileged, and made 2 factual findings supporting the determination that any privilege was waived when those documents were turned over to the city. First, the district court found that the documents relating to Irma's investigation of the city's employment practices were prepared and turned over to the city when the city and Irma were in an adversary position with respect to that investigation. The district court specifically found that the documents showed that Irma was taking, quote, a hard look at whether or not to keep the city as a member of Irma. That's the first factual finding. The second one is that the court found that under these circumstances, there was no attorney-client relationship between Irma's special counsel that was undertaking an investigation of the city and the city with respect to that investigation. Irma, on the other hand, presented absolutely no evidence in the district court that would contradict either of those factual findings, despite the fact that the district court repeatedly invited it to do so. Instead, Irma's entire argument, as we just saw, is based on a theory that's unsupported by either law or fact that the city and Irma are actually the same entity for purposes of privilege. And that's simply incorrect, as I think, you know, Judge Wood pointed out, a circumstance present that the district court found was present here in which that wouldn't be the case. If you look at just one of the cases that Irma itself relies on, Village of Lombard versus Irma, an Illinois case in which a member of Irma is suing Irma, you can see just from that very case that it cannot possibly be true that Irma is inseparable for all purposes from its members.
So you think it is the same for some purposes?
Yes.
We need to look at each specific application? And I thought your sort of the backup argument of your opponent was that at least for this set of circumstances, ensuring this particular risk, they ought to be considered the same.
Your Honor, yes, we do believe that this is a fact-specific inquiry, and this court has repeatedly held that whether an attorney for an organization represents a particular member of that organization is a fact-specific inquiry. So in other words, in this case, simply because the city is one of 70-odd member municipalities of Irma does not mean that it shares in the attorney-client privilege between Irma and its attorney for all purposes. You have to look at these particular facts. And on these particular facts, Irma offered no evidence to establish the predicates of an attorney-client relationship. It offered no evidence that the city or the mayor sought legal advice from Mr. Washer, who was the special counsel that Irma hired to investigate the city. It offered no evidence that the mayor or other city officials held any sort of belief as to whether Mr. Washer represented them as opposed to Irma. No evidence that any Irma officials believed who Mr. Washer was representing. And no evidence at all about what Mr. Washer believed as to who he was representing. And in those circumstances, the district court's ruling could not have been clear error.
How much weight are you placing on the correspondence, I believe it's correspondence, is it not, between Mr. Karsh and others, in which somebody says, we know that Mr. Washer was representing Irma alone?
I believe what you're referring to, Your Honor, is plaintiff's counsel's statement to the district court that okay. He had been told by Mr. Washer's firm that Mr. Washer was representing the city.
Yeah, yeah.
And I suppose we're relying on that only in the sense that that was said in open court, and Irma has never disputed that and has never put in any evidence to the contrary. I would like to also point out that Irma has made certain additional arguments here about why there was no waiver that it never made in the district court, and that those arguments are definitively waived. Just a few things about the self-critical analysis privilege. Irma has also offered no basis as to why that privilege, which it concedes has never been adopted by this court or any other court of appeals or the Supreme Court, would be applicable here. As the court knows and as the court has said, the creation and expansion of privileges is highly disfavored. And even if this court were to recognize a self-critical analysis privilege in general, it would not be applicable in the circumstances that are presented here. And that's for two basic reasons. First, as the district court found, Irma's investigation of the city was evidently not a self-critical analysis. It was an analysis of another entity.
Could I ask you, since everything
sure.
gets back to this how many entities are we dealing with question, whether you think that's a question of law that we should resolve structurally from the Illinois statutes, the Illinois Constitution, et cetera, or whether it's a question of fact?
The question about whether Irma and the city
right,
are the same entity.
Right. Are Irma and the city the same entity or two different entities?
I believe that the question about whether Irma and the city were acting as one or two attorneys in these circumstances is a factual question that the district court made a factual finding on based on the evidence before it, and it would be reviewed for clear error.
Okay.
The purpose of the self-critical analysis privilege clearly would not be furthered in the situation here. The purpose is to encourage entities to critically examine and evaluate themselves in order to improve themselves without the fear that this criticism will be used against them in subsequent litigation. Now, first of all, Irma isn't a party to this litigation, so that fear is gone. And secondly...
But Irma is involved. I mean, if the plaintiffs win, Irma will pay something, right?
Well, that's true. It will have some effect on
they
Irma.
Have some reason, I suppose, to be... To engage in whatever strategic behavior people who have something on the line might behave in.
That's certainly correct.
Okay.
But they are not a party to the litigation. And additionally, as Irma itself concedes in its brief, its very survival is dependent upon undertaking risk management efforts, such as the investigation that it undertook of the city. So it really defies reason to believe that Irma would suddenly cease doing that kind of risk management investigation and that kind of effort simply because the district court in this case required it to produce, you know, a few documents. And unless the court has any further questions, that's all I have.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
One minute.
In response to your question of how many entities, that is a question of law, we believe, that can be decided based upon the interpretation of the Illinois statute that's involved and the Illinois Supreme Court decision in Annapurk. With respect to the self-critical analysis privilege, the district courts throughout the country have indicated that this is an issue that's ripe. The last couple of district court decisions in this circuit that addressed the issue found that the privilege exists. And Rule 501 in the U.S. Supreme Court decision of University of Pennsylvania versus EEOC, they specifically said Rule 501 allows federal courts the flexibility to develop privileges.
But and they did so in the context of refusing to find a new privilege.
That's true at that time. And my suggestion simply to this court is that
we give maybe another shot at it.
I think it is time for all of the district courts of this country to know whether or not the self-critical analysis privilege exists. Irma and the City of Country Club Hills could not have conducted this very detailed self-critical analysis without the full cooperation and joint effort of the municipality with Irma, doing risk management work together.
But it strikes me as a false dichotomy. Irma can have this study done, they can have their lawyer give them the report, they can absorb the message of the report, and then they can go talk to the mayor of Country Club Hills or anybody else they want to without giving them the actual report of the lawyer. That's what clients normally do. The lawyer will give you the analysis, and then the clients don't necessarily broadcast the lawyer's analysis, but hopefully they will act on what they're told. But so I don't see why this freezes the self-critical process if the lawyer's work is...
Because the municipality would never have cooperated in conducting a self-critical analysis, a candid one, if it thought that this report could be used in subsequent litigation exactly as plaintiffs are attempting to do here.
I don't think you listened carefully to Judge Wood's question. Judge Wood said this report would never be used in litigation had it not been turned over. Why can't Irma do the investigation, have the lawyer write a report, and then discuss the issues with the city without turning over the report?
And in this case, I believe the answer to that is because Irma believes that it is one and the same as the member when it comes to risk management. And that's their position. And in addition, I would just simply add that it was kept highly confidential. It was kept highly confidential and was only shared with the senior elected official of the member.
Let me just say, when you file your appellate memorandum,
yes, sir,
you need to discuss the significance for appellate jurisdiction of your contention that Irma is, to use your words, one and the same with the city.
For the purpose of risk management services, Your Honor.
And that's what we're dealing with here, risk management services.
Except for the subpoena directs Irma to produce it without considering that issue, Your Honor.
Don't argue with me.
Your time is up, Counsel. Thank you very much.
Your memo.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very, very much. We will proceed to case number 5, please.